You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
All acts of terrorism are cowardly attacks on innocent people. But this attack stands out for its appalling, sickening cowardice. Deliberately targeting innocent, defenseless children and young people who should have been enjoying one of the most memorable nights of their lives.
That's British Prime Minister Theresa May reacting to a bombing Monday night at a pop concert in Manchester, England. We're going to be talking about the fact that the Islamic State early this morning has claimed responsibility for that bombing. Of course, they claim responsibility for a lot of things. Doesn't matter whether they're responsible or not when one person is willing to take that many people in a suicide bombing. Robert Spencer joins us, director of Jihad Watch and a regular guest, author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
ISIS is claiming responsibility, but of course there's no way to know whether or not they're directly responsible. In the end, does it matter when people are willing to act in the name of Islam in this way? Does it matter whether or not the Islamic State is behind it or not?
No, it doesn't really. It's the media attention to that question is based on the assumption that Islam is a religion of peace that has nothing to do with terrorism, and that therefore these guys must be connected to some group that's twisting and hijacking this peaceful religion. And actually, it could go two ways in that regard as well. When ISIS says they're responsible, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're saying they were in touch with the guy, that they were on the phone with him from Syria or Iraq and telling him to hit the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester. It could just mean this. As far back as September 2014, ISIS has repeatedly called for Muslims in the West to mount attacks against civilians in Western countries and to maximize the terror by hitting soft targets, crowds of people enjoying themselves and not thinking about anything but that. And so this is the kind of thing that ISIS has called for, and a Muslim has obeyed them and done it. Does it matter whether he was on the phone with them or not? It doesn't. He was inspired by their ideology, inspired by the belief system, and there are many, many others like him.
This is something that we're routinely shocked by it, that apparently the person, at least according to the news reports so far, at least from the Washington Post story that I've looked at, this is a person that the authorities believe actually lived in the community of Manchester. What does that tell you, Robert?
Well, it tells us a lot of things. One is that you have Muslims living in the UK, and the British authorities think that that means that they're going to imbibe British values and subscribe to them and will ultimately assimilate, when what you have is an active anti-assimilation agent in the mosque, in the presence of the Quran and the presence of the Sunnah, the teachings of Muhammad and the laws that come from those teachings, because they teach that Muslims are the best of people, as the Quran says, because they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And so if they are the best of people for enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, Islamic law is better than any infidel legal system and infidel system of society. And so you have these people growing up in England but having contempt for it and contempt for the infidel laws upon which it is founded. And this is nothing but a powder keg. It's only going to cause more trouble as time goes by.
You had mentioned the mosque, and while ISIS claims responsibility, if I were in charge of the investigation, I think I'd be probably more concerned about the local mosque this man attended, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another thing. Every time one of these jihad attacks happens, Todd, the local mosque. I haven't heard about the local mosque in this case, but I'm sure we'll be hearing from them. And I'm sure that what they'll say is that they didn't know the guy, that maybe they saw him once or twice, but they didn't like him. He was violent and they were peaceful. And so they don't really have anything to do with what he did. And this is always taken at face value. And yet it's been shown to be false on many occasions. One most notable one are the jihadis who attacked our free speech event in Garland, Texas in 2015. They had driven from Phoenix, and the Islamic Community Center of Phoenix immediately said that they didn't know these people. They were not members. They'd come around once or twice, but that was it. And then it came out that the Islamic Community Center of Phoenix had made a promotional video lovingly featuring and lavishly featuring one of the jihadis, and he was a very, very active member there. Another instance was in Philadelphia when a Muslim fired upon a police officer, said he was doing it for ISIS. The mosque said they didn't know him, but then it came out there again that he was an active and regular member. And so in the case of this jihadi in Britain, they should not take it, whatever is said by the mosque at face value, but there should be a careful investigation of what is taught at that mosque and a careful determination of whether or not there is active incitement to violence going on there, as there very well could be.
So it may be more important to pay attention to who disavows knowledge of this as much as it is to pay attention to ISIS's claiming to have responsibility for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that is very well possibly being hatched right there in Britain. And the British authorities are just assuming that all the mosques are moderate and taking that on the word of the mosque leaders. They should not be so naive and easily led.
As to the venue for this latest bombing, there doesn't seem to be much discrimination here, but just trying to have maximum fatality, maximum injury and impact. Would there be a reason why a pop concert performed by a very popular young lady would be targeted?
Oh, yeah. Well, the idea is to strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah, which is a command in the Quran in chapter 8, verse 60. And so you have this large gathering of non-Muslims who are enjoying themselves. What better way to strike terror? Now people are going to be afraid to go out. People are going to be afraid to go to shows. People are going to be afraid to relax and enjoy themselves. And this is exactly what the jihadis have said they were going to do. The Islamic State has actually boasted that they're going to make it so that non-Muslims are afraid to leave the house, or afraid that they'll be murdered in their beds if they stay in their house, afraid to make the slightest move. And they're trying to work toward that by hitting targets of this kind.
And targeting young people, in some cases they're talking about the youngest fatality here might be 8 years old. This isn't just a target of opportunity. What kind of mindset views this person as an enemy?
Well, these are crusaders. I mean, that's what the Islamic State said in its communique. 30 crusaders killed, 70 crusaders wounded. Now, it's absurd to think of 8-year-old girls and 10-year-old girls listening to Ariana Grande as crusaders. But this is the mindset of the Islamic State. They see the world as Muslims versus Christians, and that these people are Christians, even if they're not observant and not even aware of the Christian faith at all. And they see that this will terrify the Christians and terrorize them. So they, you know, to hit the children. And so they go for this vulnerable spot precisely because it's vulnerable.
Before we let you go, Robert, you were recently in Reykjavik, and tell us about a poisoning there in Iceland.
Yeah, you know, I spoke in Iceland. I was poisoned afterward by a leftist. He came up to us at a restaurant, called me by name, said he was a big fan, shook my hand. But after that, I started to get violently ill, and it's pretty clear that, it's clear from the medical reports, actually, that he put drugs in my drink. I don't expect the leftist Icelandic authorities to do anything about this, but it's just an indication to me that the virulent rhetoric from the left that preceded my arrival there, demonizing me, you know, it's practically taught as if Hitler were coming to Iceland, with no recourse from my side, no opportunity to rebut any of the charges that came from these hard left smear sites and so on. And so it's clear to me that what this is that's the final end point of the left's destruction of any dissenting voices. They've been character assassinating us for years, saying, carrying out ad hominem attacks. They can't refute what I say, so they try to say that I'm this terrible person. And then the next step beyond character assassination, if I keep going and people keep listening and they keep seeing that what I'm saying is true, they go to actual assassination. And there's going to be a lot more of it, I guarantee you.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. You can purchase these books and find out more about Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Sarah Pitlick joins us, special counsel for the Thomas More Society. We're going to talk about a St. Louis abortion sanctuary law. Stay tuned. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.